This morning, I'd like to draw your attention to 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. 2 Kings 13, 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Elisha, the mighty prophet of God, had more miracles wrought through his life than any other man in the Old Testament period. His life was filled with miracles. At the beginning of his ministry, he was following Elijah the prophet. And the time had come for the Lord to take Elijah up into heaven. And Elisha followed close on his heels. Finally, Elijah turned to him and said, What do you want? And he said, I want a double portion of the Spirit that is upon you. And Elijah said, You've asked for a difficult thing, but if you are with me when I am taken up, you will be granted your request. And so Elisha stayed with him, and finally there came the chariots of the Lord, the horsemen thereof, and Elisha was caught away in a whirlwind into heaven. And as he was going up, his mantle fell upon Elisha, the anointing, the power of God. And there began the miraculous ministry of Elisha, a ministry that included the raising of the dead, included the healing of Naaman from his leprosy, that Syrian captain, a ministry in which God used him to save Israel from the hand of the Syrians on many occasions as the Lord would reveal to him what was the plot of the Syrian army. A ministry that was just surrounded by marvelous miracles. An iron axe head floating in the Jordan River at his command. It is interesting that a man with such power in his life, that even after he died, when there was a battle and the Israeli army was fleeing from the enemy, one of the men was shot and killed, and they took his body and just threw it on the tombstone of Elisha. And when his body landed on Elisha's bones, he came back to life. He revived. Power, tremendous power. The stories of Elisha were so many and so great that they became legendary. The king called in the former servant, Gehazi, and said, Tell me what happened to Elisha. Tell me some of the stories. And he used to love to sit and just hear the stories of God's power working in this man's life. And yet, this mighty man of faith, this marvelous prophet of God, fell sick of the sickness whereof he died. That should put to rest the foolish fallacy that if you only had enough faith, you would have been healed. There are those that go around talking about the importance of making the right kind of confession and commending God the works of his hands. And they seem to indicate by their teaching that you can be perpetually healthy and never have to die. But such is not the case. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, and God chooses the appointment And he chooses the method by which that appointment shall be made. And God chooses whether or not you are going to die of an illness, of a disease, of an accident, or whatever. And when God has called your number, there's no postponement or changing. The purposes of God will stand. And those that believe that they can change God by their faith or by their persistence or by their positive confessions do not really know the truth of the eternal God, His sovereignty, and His omniscience. In fact, they would make themselves sovereign. They would put themselves in the driver's seat. God would be under their control rather than they being under the control of God. Let me say, I like it when God is in control. I get scared if I think that I am in control, because I don't know how to handle power. The Lord taught me that a long time ago. He taught me that when my brother loaned me his souped-up car. And I got stopped twice before I got home, and I knew that I couldn't handle power. I'm glad God is in control. I want it that way. It's a blessing. It's a comfort. I can rest in the fact that God knows and He's in control. Here is the prophet of God, marvelous man of God. For over 60 years, he's been exercising his ministry as the prophet of God to the nation of Israel. He has been their salvation. He has been their strength. But now, he has fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died. And when Joash the king heard of the sickness of the prophet of God, he came down to visit him. Now, Joash reigned in Israel for 16 years, but in verse 11 it tells us that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. For he continued in the idolatrous ways of Jeroboam, the first king over Israel. And he walked in the paths of idolatry. And yet, he had respect for the prophet of God. And thus, hearing that he was dying, he came down to visit him. And as he saw this man who had once been such a tower of strength, this man who had been God's instrument to save Israel, seeing him now in that weakened condition, he began himself to weep over his face, weeping because of his tremendous respect and appreciation for this man, for what this man had done for the nation. He knew that this man had altered the history of the nation of Israel. If it were not for him, they would have probably fallen victims to the Syrians. He also respected the prophet of God. He called him, my father," a term of endearment, a term of respect and honor. And he honored the prophet. He respected the prophet of God. And he knew and acknowledged that this man was the true strength of Israel. For he said concerning him, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. In those days, the chariot was the most formidable weapon that a nation could put into the battlefield. It was like a modern tank against the infantry. It was the deciding factor in a war. In fact, a nation's military strength was measured by the number of chariots that they had in their army. And so the term chariot of the Lord represented the strength, the power. And looking at this prophet of God, he recognized that this man in fellowship with God was the true strength and the power of the nation. The chariot of Israel. This man is the true strength of Israel, and acknowledged that through his relationship with God, he had brought strength to the nation, or recognizing really that God was the strength for the nation. Down deep, Joash the king knew that the only hope for the nation was in God. And yet, what a paradox, because he persisted in his evil ways. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he continued in the ways of Jeroboam, who caused Israel to sin, and he did not turn aside from that path. Acknowledge that serving God is the right thing. Serving God is the secret of strength. Knowing that, and still persisting in the path of sin. He is like so many people today who respect God and they acknowledge God, and yet they do not serve God. If we would take a poll this morning of those that are here, and we would say, how many of you believe in God? We would probably have 100%. Yes, we all believe in God. I think it would be 100%. As I look around, I don't see any of you that look like fools. Well, Psalm 14 said, the fool has said there is no God. So I would assume that all of you at least believe in God. But what a paradox. To acknowledge God, to believe and even respect God, but yet not commit yourself to God, not serve God. And this was the case of the king. Respected and acknowledged, but continued in his evil ways. Paul the Apostle, in the first chapter of his letter to the Romans, talked about those who knew God. But when they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. It isn't a problem of not believing in God so often. It isn't a problem of not knowing God. He said, the wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. People hold the truth of God, but they hold it in unrighteousness. I believe that the worst blasphemy is not of a man saying, I don't believe in God, but the man who acknowledges the existence of God, but then goes on to live as though God did not exist. Leaves God out of his life completely. Never seeks the advice from God, never seeks direction from God. Just goes on, lives day by day as though God did not exist, and yet he acknowledges the existence of God. That is the worst kind of blasphemy. Who, when they knew God, they would not glorify him as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves to be wise, they became fools because they began to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. It's exactly the case of King Joash. They had set up, Jeroboam had set up the golden calves in Dan and in Bethel, And he continued in the ways of Jeroboam, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And so Joash, the interesting paradox, weeping over the prophet of God, acknowledging the prophet of God to be the strength of Israel, but persisting in the path of sin. You know that you should be walking after the Spirit, but you persist in the path of the flesh. Down deep, you know that serving God is the right thing to do, but you're still serving your own lust. The old prophet of God, though he is dying, said to the king, "Take now your bow and your arrows and open the window towards the east and stretch your bow." And so the king opened the window towards the east, the area from which the Syrians would come to fight against Samaria. And the old prophet put his hands upon the hands of King Joash. And he helped Joash as he drew back and let fly with the arrow towards the east. And as the arrow shot out the window towards the east, the old prophet said, "The arrow of the deliverance of the Lord, the arrow of the deliverance over Syria." He said, "Now shoot down into the ground. Take your arrows and begin to shoot down into the ground." And so Joash pulled back and he shot once, twice, three times, and then he stopped. And Elisha was upset. He said, "Why did you stop? You should have continued shooting until you shot five or six arrows, and then you would have totally consumed the enemy. But now you shall only smite them thrice. But they shall rise to destroy. You should have gone on." But that was the story of the man. It was that of inconsistency, not persisting in the path, acknowledging, seeing the path, but not walking in it, giving respect and honor unto God, but not serving Him. How many times do we stop short of total victory when we should persist on and press on into complete victory? We sometimes stop short and we say, "Well, you know, that's not going to hurt me." And we make a tolerance, or we allow toleration towards evil rather than smiting totally and completely. And that evil that we allow to remain rises up ultimately to destroy us. Half-hearted efforts do not bring total victory over the enemy. You can't take a nonchalant type of an attitude towards the things of God and the things of the Spirit. It isn't a take it or leave it or whatever kind of a thing. It is a complete commitment. It is a full-on, all-for-God kind of a commitment to serve the Lord. It isn't, "Well, sure, I believe in God. Yes, I even go to church once in a while. I sing the hymns. God is great. God is good. He dwells in the heavens. He created the universe. He's a great and awesome God." Oh, yes. All of these things, you may do your acknowledgement of Him, but if you don't serve Him, none of the acknowledgement counts. Actually, it's only an indictment against you. Knowing God and then refusing to commit yourself to Him fully is only an indictment of you. For he who knew the will of God and did not accordingly will be beaten with many stripes. Yet he who did things worthy of many stripes, because he did not know the will of the Lord, will be beaten with few. Unto whom much is given, much is required. To whom little is given, little is required. And you think that your acknowledgement of God is getting you points. No, it's going against you. The fact that you respect God, bringing you points, no, it goes against you. It's not points in your favor, but points against you, because you are not living up to the light and the knowledge that God has brought unto you. And here is Joash, a classic example of a man failing to live up to the light. He saw there in the prophet of God the strength of Israel, recognizing this man, he's the strength, the chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof. And yet persisting in an evil path of sin. There are several truths for us to glean from this lesson this morning. First of all, is that God can use you in his service till the day you die. And sometimes, even after you're dead. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. I really don't see where you ever retire from serving God. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to be up here when I'm a decrepit old man trying to. God will change things, and I'll be able to maybe sit back and write or something and carry on the ministry in another way. But I can't see ever ceasing to serve the Lord. As long as I live, every breath that I take, I would much rather wear out than rust out. So don't expect to see me just sitting on the shelf rusting away someplace. That won't happen. As long as he gives me breath, I'll serve him because I love him. He's given life to me. But you can even serve the Lord after you're dead. I think of how Spurgeon continues to minister through his writings. What inspiration he still brings. G. Campbell Morgan and others, their work goes on. Though they're with the Lord in glory now, their service continues through the writings and all. And I think of the tapes and all, how that after I'm gone, the ministry will continue through tapes and all, and through the writings. And so there's no end to serving God. He can use you even after you're dead. The second lesson is that admiration and respect for God is not enough. 90% of the people in the United States say they believe in God. That doesn't make us a godly nation. It's serving God. It's that commitment to God that really counts. James said, "You say you believe God, you think that's a big deal?" The devils believe God. In fact, they go you one better. They fear and tremble before him. But it doesn't bring them salvation. It teaches us that half-hearted efforts will never bring to us total victory. Total victory only comes through total commitment. And finally, it teaches us that the real strength lies in a right relationship with God. The strength of a nation lies not in its military powers, not in its technical skills, not in its economic greatness. but in its relationship with God. And righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king recognized that the strength of the nation was in the man of God, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. Therein lies your strength, in your relationship with God. And if you have a right relationship with God, you can't be defeated, for he is our strength as we live for him. God, help us to take to heart the lessons of the story this morning. Shall we pray? Father, we pray even now that your Holy Spirit would apply the truth to each of our hearts. As we, Lord, acknowledge you, declare our appreciation and our respect for what you've done. But Lord, we realize that is not enough. We surrender our lives to you, to be your servants, to be your instruments, that through us, O Lord, you might accomplish your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. How many arrows are you shooting today? Stopping at 3? Or are we going to go all the way? Are we going to expend ourselves completely for the Lord? Total commitment. Therein is strength. The Lord is speaking to many of your hearts today. You've seen yourself in Joash. He's held up the mirror. And you realize that, like Joash, you've respected and acknowledged him, but you've still walked in your own path. And that's not going to do. And the Lord is calling you to a commitment unto himself. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room. Respond to that work of God's Spirit within your heart today. Open up your heart and make that commitment to serve him completely. May the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you, and may he strengthen you for the trials and for the things that you'll be facing this week. And may you begin to experience more and more the strength of the Lord and the victory of the Lord in your life as we become more than conquerors through his love. In Jesus' name.